For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, August the 30th, 1986. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Bell of Richardson, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
Praise God. Let's pray a minute, would you? Just pray with me a minute. Just pray in tongues for a minute. Pray in tongues. Praise you, Father. Father, we just praise you tonight. Lord, we ask you for that mantle of the blood to cover this place tonight in the name of Jesus. We bind the strong man. We bind the principalities and powers in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Take authority over all of you. I bind every spirit that would want to come and disturb and hinder the word of God. All the witchcraft, we bind it tonight. Every spirit of mind control and fear, we bind you up tonight in the name of Jesus. We bind you tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the loosing of the power of the Spirit. Lord God, in your people tonight, we praise you, Father, and thank you, Lord, for the anointing for the ministry to come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been pondering what the Lord wants me to minister on tonight. And I believe that one of the things that we need to deal with tonight, a lot of you seem to be relatively new to deliverance. How many of you feel that you're relatively new to deliverance? Would you raise your hands? Well, maybe I'm wrong. No, there's a few of you. Some of you have been asking an awful lot of questions. Maybe you don't know what I mean by being relatively new. But God's always got some new things, and one of the frustrating things when we travel so many times is that we come in with a whole wagon load, and we want to dump the whole load, and sometimes we dump too much, and we need to just take a step at a time. I think if there's anything at all that the Lord is showing me about you as a people here that have been gathered together, and I saw so clearly this afternoon in that prophecy, it gave me an understanding of what happens here more clearly than I've ever had before, that he brings the sheep in here and does a work in them and then lets you go back out until that time where there will be shepherds that we can gather to, because we're not going to make it through this Holocaust that's coming alone. You're going to have to be with people. I mean, you're going to have to be in the body. Hallelujah. Because One person doesn't have it. Now, I don't have all there is to give to any one body. See, I don't have all of it. And one of these days, we're going to get the fivefold ministry flowing in the church. And then we'll get the saints equipped. Hallelujah. But praise God, I do preach on other things. But it seems like every time I go out, what gets drawn out of me is this thing of deliverance. I'm a kingdom preacher. Praise God, I preach the kingdom. I'll show you some of the tapes. I preach sonship. Hallelujah. I groan in my prayer closet in the early mornings to be clothed on with that, to be manifested as a son of God. I cry out to God for that nature to come out of me and to come forth in me. That's my groan. And it's growing in me, so something must be getting ready to happen. There's such a groan when I come before the Lord now. Lord, I want your nature. I want your nature, Father. I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to shed this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's my desire. But back to more serious things. The Lord's telling me tonight, and this is not a very nice thing to say, but again, referring to that word that I had this afternoon, he wants to worm us. You know what worms are, don't you? And you know where they are, don't you? They're not on your head or on your hand, they're in you. And the oil that he wants to pour out tonight is castor oil. We all need a good cleaning out. Every once in a while. People ask, you know, can you ever get free? Brethren, if I didn't think there was an end to this thing, it'd be terrible. One of the most hurtful false doctrines that I grew up under was nobody's perfect. You'll never be perfect. Well, why did Jesus tell us to be then? Would our God tell us to do something and then make it impossible to be? But see, we're after something. We're after a completion is a better translation of that. To be made complete. To walk in sinlessness, per se. Hallelujah. Now that may go against your doctrine. But put it on the shelf, go home and pray about it. Open your word up and learn of the Lord. And He'll begin to show you what we're after here. And then from time to time, if you pick up a little here and there, you clean yourself up. You get cleaned up. Hallelujah. You get dirty once in a while, and you have to get cleaned up. Amen? Okay. So, is it possible to get totally delivered? Most certainly. Most certainly. Hallelujah. See, deliverance is an emptying out, a clearing of the way that the Word of God might go in and that the transformation of the real person may take place. See, the reason so many people are not being transformed into His image is because of what's in there to choke out the Word of God. And so the deliverance clears the way of the giants in the land, that the land might then be cultivated and the transformation from glory to glory may take place. Hallelujah. So deliverance alone is not enough. Not enough. You've got to have the Word of God. You've got to have the prophetic ministry. You've got to have the apostolic ministry. You've got to have the teacher's ministry and the evangelist ministry and the shepherd's ministry. Hallelujah. Before we'll be made complete. That's what the Word says. Praise God. God's going to do it. Bless His name. Now, this afternoon, we talked about witchcraft. Irma did a little bit. And I just feel led of the Lord to talk about that again tonight. Only I'm going to talk about it maybe in a little bit different light. So turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And God's going to bring forth a mighty ministry here tonight. It's Friday night, and that's my night, because back in Dallas, Saturday night. Oh, wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, that's my night, too. Praise God. I started to say every Friday night we have a deliverance meeting in Dallas, but we do. So, praise God, we're having a deliverance meeting in Arkansas tonight. In Deuteronomy 18, getting ahead of myself, verse 9, reading from the New King James, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Now, before I go any further, I want to say a few things. I want you, under the leadership of the Lord, to open yourself up tonight for ministry. There's some of you that have been fighting it, afraid that you're going to manifest. And I say tonight, let her rip. Okay? Yes. Praise God. Let her rip, son. Yes. Brother, let her rip. Amen? Let her rip. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you men, let her go. There's help around here. We can handle it. So let's get free. Let's get let go of our pride and our fear tonight, and let's let God do a work tonight. It won't hurt if a few of these chairs get kicked over. Because I kicked a few over myself in this very same room. Guarantee you I did. So let her rip. Now, we know how to bind up a demon if he gets out of control. But I've seen people afraid to manifest and not get free. So open yourself up to receive what the Spirit of God has for us here tonight. And let's get free. All right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the real root problem in the church at this hour is witchcraft. Sin hasn't gotten any better. It's still as serious today as it was in the Old Testament. We don't hear as much preaching on it. That's why a lot of people resist the teaching on curses. They think it's too negative. It just happens to be the truth, whether it's negative or whatever it is. And so the influence of witchcraft in the church and society is just pervasive. It's everywhere. Entertainment, advertising, all this self-help, self-motivation, salesmanship, it's come right into the church, and it's witchcraft.
Right.
Because it's mind control.
Amen.
And all this success syndrome and prosperity syndrome, it's all intermingled with witchcraft. It's got a spirit. Now, let's talk a little bit about what witchcraft is. I said, Lord, show me and make this plain what this is. Basically, witchcraft is anything outside of the work of the Holy Spirit. Anything that's outside of the work of the Holy Spirit of God is witchcraft. Anything you would know, acquire, or do that you couldn't without some external help. It's what is done in the flesh. Does it not in Galatians 5:20 name witchcraft as one of the works of the flesh? So you say, what about this? How could a work of the flesh be witchcraft when we know witchcraft has to do with demons and spirits? Well, it is a work of the flesh, see. What God won't assist, or we won't wait on Him to do, is witchcraft. Now see, we got to let God define our words. When I go to the Word, I say, Lord, what it might say in Webster's dictionary might be one thing, but what do you say that it means? Hallelujah. Found an interesting study a few weeks ago about some men down in Waco that are doing real deep research and really believing that the original Gospels were written in Hebrew and then simply directly translated to Greek. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. Maybe we shouldn't do so many word studies, Lord. Maybe we ought to do some prayer studies. Hallelujah. What's done without the Spirit of God, even though it's done in God's name, is rebellious, and therefore it's sorcery. What's done without the Spirit of God, even though it's done in God's name, is rebellious. And therefore, it's sorcery. It's witchcraft. Is not rebellion as the sin of witchcraft? I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. God's given me that word many times, that we're dealing with a rebellious house, Brother Tommy. He said, I'm going to give you a hot forehead like flint.
Hallelujah.
That's why we're all scattered on the hillsides. Because we're rebellious. You know what I was thinking this afternoon? I was sitting back there. I was looking at all the books, and I've got a library. I got walls of books. I love to read, always have. And I thought, I saw a book back there on hypnotism. And I thought, I picked it up and thumbed through it, and I thought, that's interesting, but why write a whole book on it? There's not that much to it. I mean, when the prophet stands up and says, don't do it, that ought to be enough. You hear me? But see, somehow or another, we want to be convinced in our mind. And we want to apprehend it with our intellect, and then we understand it and say, okay, now I won't do it. And that's rebellion. The Word of God, see, should be enough. Basically, because of the making of books, there is no end. And don't get me wrong now, the Lord's telling me to write about three more books. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's look at some scriptural references. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. There it is. You remember the story about Saul, don't you? Most of you do, how he wouldn't wait on the prophet, and he went ahead and made the sacrifice, and he kept some of the cattle, and he kept the king alive, and all of that. And he disobeyed God, and it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft," or divination, is another translation, "and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king." So, this word means to distribute, determined by lot, a magical scroll, to divine, a lot, divination, or oracle. That's what that word witchcraft means here. Now look in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, 6th verse. Manasseh, also he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, using witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. A little bit different word here. It means to whisper a spell, to incant, or practice magic. All right? There's another one in 2 Kings 9:22. Let's look at that one quickly. 2 Kings 9:22. Now, it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" And that word is kershaf in the Hebrew, meaning magic, sorcery, witchcraft, etc. You can also look at Micah 5:12. You can look at Nahum 3:4. We'll not look them up. Now, witchcraft is related to rebellion. And basically, the word rebellion means to be bitter. Did you know that? It means to be bitter, to rebel. And see, a rebel is always a bitter person. That's why that root so defiles the church. That root of bitterness will so defile the church, because a bitter person is a resentful person, and they become stubborn and unteachable, and they're rebellious. As Frank Hammond says, every rebel is a recruiter. Every rebel is a recruiter. He goes out and gets together, and you'll find a teenager that's got that rebellious spirit, and he'll go somewhere, he'll walk in a camp like this, and you'll find the other kids gathering around him. Time and again. Time and again. Now, rebellion, a defiance or opposition to any authority or control. Young says, a sin of divination is rebellion. A sin of divination, to divine something by witchcraft, is rebellion. All right? Now, some basic practices of witchcraft as we find in the Bible. Number one, the main heading is divination. Divination. The attempt to discern present and future situations by such means as trances, visions, physical objects, and so forth. The attempt to discern present and future situations by such means as trances, visions, physical objects, so forth. Pendulum swinging, Ouija boards, you know, meditation, card laying, anything that we use, palm reading, fortune telling, horoscopes, all of that, see, is an attempt to find out something and bypassing God's source. Examples. I don't need to go on. Heptoscopy, they used to cut the liver out of the animals and examine the liver in some way they could divine things. The teraphim were images used for divination. You know, Sarah had some teraphim, didn't she? Was it Sarah? No, it was Jacob's wife. Rebecca. Yeah, Isaac's wife. I'll get it right in a minute. Necromancy, communication with the dead. It's condemned in the law and in the prophets. And we'll not take time to name the scriptures. Astrology, which means reading the stars and coming to conclusions on the basis of their positions and relations to each other, is pronounced as vain in Isaiah 47:13 and Jeremiah 10:2, if you want a scripture. Astrology is not of God, although the heavens do declare the glory of God, and there is a revelation in the heavens, in the constellations. So divination is one of the practices, one of the main practices of witchcraft, to divine something, to find out something you wouldn't know any other way. Number two is sorcery. And sorcery is the use of an evil supernatural power over people and their affairs. Superhuman or occult power by virtue of spells, magic, or secret knowledge obtained from evil spirits. Had a lady call me a while back. She says, Brother Bell, I heard that you know some things about devils and demons and so forth. Well, I know a little bit. She said, well, I work for AT&T. And I know I risk myself putting this on tape. But she says, at our sales meetings now, I'm in the sales part of AT&T, and she says, I don't know what I'm going to do, but they're doing witchcraft now. We're burning candles, and we're casting spells, and we're using witchcraft to give us success with people. Now, I found out that there's another major corporation in Dallas that's gone to this. See, this is where this success stuff has got to go. Because it's mind control, and once they find out in their iniquity and wickedness that they can control people by demons, the greed and the covetousness is going to lead them right into it. And that's where a lot of our pressure is going to come from. Hear me now. The greed and the covetousness is so great in the Dallas area that you can feel it on you when you drive around town. It's something else. Hallelujah. Now, the same Hebrew words in Strong's 3784, 3785, words for witchcraft and sorcery, they're the same. Now, let's get down to something here. Why do people get into witchcraft? Okay, go back to 1 Samuel now, 15, verse 24. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. One of the primary reasons people go into witchcraft is the fear of people. The fear of the face of man. And I've seen it happen in ministry. The people demand the supernatural. And see, it's the charismatics that have gotten off in this realm, and they've gotten the taste of the supernatural, and now they demand it.
Right.
And they're going to demand their prophecy, and they're going to demand their word of knowledge, and they're going to demand their word of wisdom. And because of that fear that's in ministry, of reputation and so forth, a trap is laid. And let me tell you, I can stand here tonight and prophesy out of my own spirit all night. I can go down these roads and prophesy over every one of you. I can give every one of you a word, quote, word of knowledge, unquote. Do you hear me? But God is teaching me as a man of God that I've got to learn to be obedient and know when it's God, and only then do I move with it. Because it's so easy to step right over in that other realm. And brethren, I drew it on the board yesterday. I don't believe in soulishness. You're either carnal or you're spiritual. And when you step out of that realm of the supernatural, you're in the carnal realm and you're in the realm of witchcraft. Period. There's nothing in between. The Bible draws hard lines. The Bible draws lines, brethren, and you either on one side or the other side. It's black or white in the Word of God. Now, man likes to make it gray. He likes to spread the line out and say, oh, well, let's get balanced. I'm sure one of the accusations of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is that they're out of balance. If for no other reason, because I've spoken here before. Hallelujah. But, brethren, let's call it like it is. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, Saul obeyed their voice, met their demands. The price of popularity and success with the people is to bring the things of God down to the attractive level of the human heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, the day is going to come. You're going to so love the prophetic word that you're going to let it cut your heart. I've come to a place in my life in the last 3 years where I said, God, send somebody to rip me apart. God, show me. If I can't see it myself, send somebody. Give me the word of the Lord. And let it cut to the marrow and divide soul and spirit, Lord, that I might go on. I want to go to Zion, brother. And I'm going to take that because the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And my heart will deceive me. And if I start trying to get introspective and clean my own self up, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get deceived. And I need the prophetic ministry. I need it. Prophesy to me. Only don't give me flattery. Give me the word of the Lord. I've had the flattery. And it didn't do me any good. There's a little season in my ministry I decided I was going to be positive. Oh, man, I'm tired of this negative stuff. People come and say, Brother Bell, you're too hard. You've got a hard ministry. Well, and here, you know, most rejected man that ever walked the face of the earth. Want to be loved. And yet God put you in this. You got the wrong man, Lord. I just want to be loved. And so I started, boy, you know, you can get in that word and you can preach the, you know, priesthood of the believer, the authority of the believer, the, you know, victory seated in Christ Jesus. Boy, you can get in Ephesians and just go to town, sit, walk, stand in the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, all that stuff. And man, we start growing. I mean, we start growing. Praise God, we packed out the Holiday Inn there in Richardson. Finally had to rent a building. But I wasn't growing. I got miserable. The Lord began to deal with me. He's going to bear my heart. Every preacher's been there if he's honest. Let's cool this thing down a little bit, Lord. And I'm tired of pressing this thing so much. Let's get the pressure off. And you can do it. But see, that's not going to bring you and me into sonship. It's going to take pressure to get us there. It's going to take pressure. What's it take to make a diamond? Heat and pressure. In the bowels of the earth. And time. Hallelujah. Time. Boy, 9 years ago I thought, man, God's done a quick work in me. I'm ready, Lord. Man, give me 9 more years, Lord. Don't be fooled by that. Time's involved in this. And I like Brother Jack was saying, I don't know how much time we got left. I don't know when we got time to raise up some babies. Except I go back to that parable of Jesus had about the laborers, see? And that's only got to do with salvation. That doesn't have to do, I don't think, with ministry. All right? Okay. Now, a leader has to be God's own man. Watch out for anything that's popular. Let's go to Luke 16, scripture text. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said to them, Jesus said, you are those who justify yourselves before men. Oh, hallelujah. How many times has that thing got on me that I wanted to get up and give a good sermon? Want to make a good impression? Oh, God, let me prophesy tonight. Oh, Lord, make sure that people manifest when I rebuke demons. I remember the first time I ever had a mass deliverance. For the devil, I got up and I said, I rebuke you, Satan. Everybody just sat there just like you. In the name of Jesus, come out. Satan says, it's not going to work. Who do you think you are? And my old heart started going pat, pat. And boy, I thought, what hole am I going to crawl in? I got delivered of that. It doesn't bother me anymore. Hallelujah. But God knows your hearts, For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Read it. Let's read it together. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, is that the Word of God? I found out that everything that the world says is right is just the opposite in the kingdom. The world says you got to get, and the kingdom says you got to give. So everything the world is drawn to and approves and likes is an abomination in the sight of God. I don't care whether it's an evangelist or a prophet. I don't care who it is. That's the Word of God. Hear ye the Word of the Lord. Hear ye the Word of the Lord. And quit sending your money to those places. When there's places like this. Listen, I've been coming here 8 years. I've grown up here in the Lord. And I was telling him today, I said, my God, where would we have been if it hadn't been for Lake Hamilton? This is where I learned the kingdom message, where I learned the sonship message, where I got my first deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, this is not Zion. I understand that, but it's about as close as we're going to get today. This is good. I've been in a lot of meetings. I've been in the big ones. And man, oh man, I stay here. Let's build a tabernacle and stay. Praise God. That's what Glenn did. Praise the Lord. Now, okay. Why people get into witchcraft? Fear of man. Fear of people. If you ever feel like you just got to prophesy because, or somebody just got to have a word, back off. Back off. Okay, second reason. Selfish desire. Greed. Covetousness. Lust. Because of these, our efforts become sorcery in order to obtain what we think is the will of God. Well, if I don't do good, I won't get a good offering. Oh, God, I hope we have a good meeting. I sure could use a good offering. And when we have good meetings, the offerings are bigger. Now, that had ought not to be. That's the carnality that we're in. We ought to hear from God what to give. And if we all were listening to God, we wouldn't have short offerings. Wouldn't matter how good the meetings are. Isn't that strange? I learned one thing in my ministry. I was so perfect. I wanted everything perfect. We're not going to take an offering. Praise God. God, we're going to trust God. We're going to put a box at the back of the room and trust God. One day the Lord said, son, I want my people to worship me with their tithes and offerings today. I want you to pass a basket and receive an offering. Well, Lord, you know the principles I've been walking in, and after all, I've told the people, you know, a lot of things I've told the people I've had to back down from. Yeah. Come on, get honest. I don't see any halos out there yet. Hallelujah. What are you going to do about all those books and tapes? Well, praise God. Trust God. It's out there. So, we had a morning service. I taught on giving. And I'd like to teach on that, but the Lord won't let me tonight. But anyway, took an offering. And it was three times what we'd ever seen come in one time before. And boy, I said, praise God, I've learned a new secret here. And I found out that by passing the basket, the offering was over twice as much each week. Just by doing that, instead of trusting the offering basket at the back. Now, what's the reason for that? Carnality. Amen? Amen? Now, let's look at Ezekiel 13, verse 17. Hallelujah. How many want to get free of everything? Hallelujah. You're sure? Ezekiel 13:17 says, "Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart."
Yes.
Prophesy against them. Now, brethren, that day's got to come. In love. And say, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves." Now, the old King James really misses it here. One brother I know that I've had some time with has written a book, and he's completely missed this passage about the pillows. It's not laying your head on a pillow. That word there is talking about a magic charm that they sewed on their sleeve. Yeah. On their sleeves, and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you've made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you've strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, what was the problem here? Selfish desires, covetousness was the problem. And they would work out enchantments and go through rituals and capture souls in these things that they would sew on their sleeves. Through spirits of control, witchcraft, sorcery, casting of spells. And brethren, it's real. Don't ever think it's not. Don't ever think it's not. Even for a blood-bought believer. Hallelujah. Some of you are sitting under some of that stuff tonight, and you're going to get free. You see, the attitude of the heart is the key. The attitude of the heart is the key. That our hearts have got to be purified. We've got to get cleaned out so we can minister in the purity of the Spirit. All right, let's go to Acts 8. Hallelujah. Acts 8, 9. Let's look at Simon. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Now, isn't it interesting that we got another Simon in the Bible? One Simon, and the word Simon means reed. Reed. What's a reed? Every time the wind blows, the reed blows whichever the way the wind blows. And Jesus changed his name to Peter, made him a rock. We got another Simon in here that blows that way. See, practice sorcery. To whom they, verse 10, they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Now listen to this, brethren. There's a lot of Simons in the land. And they're going around saying, "This man is the great power of God. Because he prophesies what I want to hear. He teaches what I want to hear. And I approve of this ministry." Not because they've heard from God, but because they're getting what their wicked hearts want out of that ministry. They're hearing what they want to hear. And their ears are being scratched where they itch. Any man of God that's worth his salt knows where your ears itch. But any man of God worth his salt will scratch where God says to scratch and not where you think it needs to be scratched. And the man that really loves you will scratch you that way and give you the word that you need, not the word that you want.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's look at Simon some more. Verse 11. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Some of these ministries just go on and on and on and on and on. You say, well, it must be God. Well, Simon went along for a long, didn't it say a long time? But then they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them and so forth. Now, look on down at verse 18. Now, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. The desire for power, the desire for recognition, and underneath that is bitterness and resentment and rebellion. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it. And we fall into a self-seductive thing of trying to meet the needs of the people instead of being obedient to the voice of the Master. Saul met the needs of the people. He did. But he missed God. And the ministry out of the holiest of holies, the hundredfold ministry, is a ministry as unto the Lord, that only does what they see the Father do.
Amen.
And that ministry will go down to the pool of Siloam and heal one man and leave the rest of them hanging. Amen?
Amen.
And that's overcoming sonship ministry. I want to offer you some cautions. Be careful of the urge to get someone to think like you or do as you want. Well, what if I'm right? Be careful of the urge to get someone to think like you think and do like you do. Be careful of that. Because you know what it'll do? It'll color personal prophecy and it'll influence your counseling. Had a millionaire come to me for ministry. And don't think the devil didn't play games with that. Because God gave me a hard word for that man. And I don't want to give him a hard word because this is a man that could have written a $1 million check. I mean, is this, Lord, am I hearing you right? I rebuke you, Satan. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I hope they invite me back to Lake Hamilton. What can I preach that? Or the pastor, see? He's got that flock out there, and God gives him a word for one of that flock. That's a faithful, consistent tither. Oh, God. Oh, God. A month ago, the Lord told me to release a man that had been in our ministry for 8 years. Now, I'll not go into the details why, but that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. But I know it was God. I know it was God. Be careful of too great an urge or pressure for supernatural or the miraculous. Don't try to force the miraculous or the supernatural. Because you'll get it. You'll get it. It leads to counterfeits. It leads to trances. Prophecy, word of knowledge, wisdom, all those things can come forth and they can all be counterfeits. Satan has counterfeited every gift. Every gift. Brethren, one of the things that a lot of charismatics have used to so-called discern ministry is this thing of being a falling out in the Spirit. And not all of it's of God. In fact, most of it's not of God. And if you think that that validates ministry because I touch somebody or and they fall out, then you are a fool. Because demons can take people down faster than the Holy Spirit can. And so many times the Lord's had me just follow them right down to the floor and start rebuking the demons in them. I did a study in the Word on this one time. Studied. That's what got me kicked off the radio in Dallas. And every man of God that fell under the power fell on his face. Every single man in that Word fell on his face. The only people that fell backwards were those that were coming to arrest Jesus. Study it. The devil talks in tongues. I've had battles with demons. Boy, their tongue, you know. Boy, he can talk in tongues. Most demons can. Now, they can't understand all our tongues. I don't believe they can. But we can sure talk to them back in tongues, and they understand when we're in that language, because God will give us the language to talk to them in. I believe that. But, brother, realize that everything can be counterfeited, and some of the most powerful tools in the church is what he wants to counterfeit most, like prophecy. We have found more people that needed ministry because of false ministry, I think, than anything else in this hour. And one of the cleaning outs tonight that God wants to do in this place is get you delivered of those things that you received through the transfer of spirits through false ministry. Now, how somebody asked me a question today about something, and the thought came to me, well, how do these demons, what gives them the opening to work against you? Well, the basic thing is sin. Is sin. The bottom line of demonic oppression is sin. Somewhere, somebody sinned. Either you or your fathers sinned and opened the door for demonic entry. Now, you start working with that, and then the second thing you got to look for, are you working in the principles of God? If the principles aren't right, the devil will come. See? So many times, we have so grieved for families because the husband won't stand up as head in the home.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.